Welcome to Loudmouth Brown Girl. I'm super excited. This is Salif Sisis with the Loudmouth Brown Girl. I'm super excited because my friend today, Savannah Worley, is joining me and I'm obsessed. Like, obsessed. She, when I first met her, was like this super quiet, super like reserved. And then out of nowhere, we did a goddess session and I'm like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What's hiding under all that? Well, today we're going to do a brand new different kind of episode. We're going to be asking each other questions that we've always wanted to know about each other, which is going to be more fun because it'll be more interactive for both of us. So first and foremost, we would like to take a moment to honor the land upon which we gather, which is the traditional and unceded territory of the Coast Salish people, which is the Kwantlen, the Semiahmoo, and the Tsawwassen First Nations. I am super impressed that I remember that because I usually have it written down, but this last few months in BC has just been crazy in terms of Indigenous awareness and all of the things that have been happening, that it's become more important for me to remember that acknowledgement and to remember why I say it each week. And so shout out to Charmaine Fury from Militantly Mixed, who actually started the tradition of doing it on podcasts. I think it's really cool and I'm honored to continue it. Hi, Savannah.
Hey,
How are you?
how's it going?
It's going. I'm hyper.
I am too. I drank this coffee drink and it was like an energy drink. And I also have my Adderall, so I'm just like I'm everywhere.
It's funny. I just realized we have the same TV.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I love that.
cool.
I love that because we're in two different countries and we're totally different people. So do you want to start asking questions or should I?
You start.
Okay. So you told me the other day that you used to be a journalist. I want to know all about that career. What was it like? How did you get into it? Why did you stop? All of the things.
Okay. I went to the School of Journalism at Indiana University, Bloomington. I thought that, it was like going to be like a public service, I get to inform people of things, of things that they should know, especially about our government. Like I double majored in with political science. But no, it's not like that at all. It like one of my professors actually told me that I need to sell my stories. And it's like that in American media, like they sensationalize things. They report on certain things only to get clicks. That's one reason why I just kind of fell out of love with it. Also, I had a mental breakdown or several mental breakdowns during my
You,
undergrad.
me, and nada, baby. Like, you, me, and nada. And when I say that, you, me, and nada, I mean Nada Shahad, who is another woman that we love and like worship at the ground of, because oh my God, like, she
Yes.
calls herself the Dragon Slayer. And you remind me so much of her because you've been so open about your mental health. And you've
Yeah.
been so like, this is who I am, and this is what it is. And sometimes it's pretty, and sometimes it's ugly. And I just admire you so much for that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, like I was during my undergrad, I was hospitalized a total of 7 times, but I graduated anyway. But I graduated in 2009 when there wasn't a lot of jobs. We were in a set where we were recovering from a recession. That's another reason why I fell out of it because there weren't any jobs.
Yeah.
But I wrote for the student newspaper and I won a lot of awards for that. I wrote for the newspaper here, where I live now. And then I also wrote for the Indianapolis Star. I wrote a couple of articles for them. It doesn't earn a lot of money.
Yeah, people forget that. People are like, Devin charges $500 for a single essay. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
That might be the only essay that I write for the entire year.
Yes. Yeah, it's not, we're poor. Writers are poor.
It's great that you love us, but as I said in my video with Renita, pay us.
Yes,
Like, I
exactly.
mean, like, I'm sorry, but that's the sad truth. Like, I love that our audience loves us, right? I did this video with Renita for my Ko-fi, and the snippet is essentially like, pay me. Like, I'm glad that you love my work, but like, I'm broke. I'm eating potatoes for the third day in a row. Like, I would like some steak.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? All right. So my next question, what made you decide to join WEOC?
Well, Allison, like I think she invited
That
everybody.
fucking Allison.
Yeah,
Like 500 invites. So, hey, Devin, how's it going? Have you joined Woke yet? No. Are you going to? No. But you should. No. But you really want to. But I really don't. But like that was basically the conversation. And it went on 4 months.
it, I mean, she. Like I saw her, forming the group, and I was interested in it because, I was just kind of isolated, and on Medium, I was just kind of screaming into the void, and she eventually found me and invited me to it, so I was just like, why not?
Yeah.
It'd be nice to interact with other writers, a
One of
caller.
the best decisions I've ever made in my life was joining this group.
Absolutely.
Sure. And the
Yeah.
crazy thing is that, like, I did not want to join it because I'm not a joiner. But prior to joining, I was like one of those, where is my tribe bloggers? I was like constantly looking for other bloggers and writers to connect with. But then, like, when they would start groups, I'm like, no, not interested. So when Allison invited me, I barely knew her. And like when I joined, you were one of the first people I met. I was immediately obsessed. I was like,
And same
there's
here.
something to her that she's not showing the world, and I can
Yeah.
see it. And then like within a couple of weeks, it came out, and I was like, there it is. There's that
Yeah.
thing that I can't define that is the Savannahness. What is your writing routine?
Honestly, I really don't have a routine. I am too disorganized to really form a routine. Ideally, like I try to write once a week, and then like I jot down ideas, like any sort of idea, no matter how silly it is. Like I, as soon as I get it, I just jot it down. So like I read through those, and I try to find something that I want to write about, and then I just kind of get to it. And then whenever I'm writing, I just go ahead and write. I don't worry about editing. Like that's one thing that I w learned in journalism school. Just write what you know. Don't worry about editing. You have editors for that. Of course, I don't have an editor now, so I have to edit myself.
Which is the worst part of writing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, especially like I hated my editors whenever I worked at newspapers because they just cut out so much. They cut out so much information that people should know, and it's frustrating. And a nice thing about being my own editor is that I don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Of course, the bad thing is that I can make grammatical errors and not make sense at times.
I went through Uncomfortable with a fine-tooth comb. I edited the shit out of that. I ignored a whole ton of Grammarly suggestions because they didn't make sense. And every time I go look at the original copy, they pop up and I'm like, fuck you. I know for a fact that none of those are actual like corrections. They are actual mistakes.
Yeah,
I know
Grammarly
that those are
is.
robotic mistakes, but it is still offensive to see
Yes, I hate
them.
Grammarly because it's just like I'm not like I'm just like a comment doesn't belong there. What the
No.
hell are you talking about? And I
We're like,
ignore
that's not how
it.
you spell that word. Or that's the
Exactly.
inflection that I want. Yeah. How do you deal with your grief? And I want to ask you this because I know some of your story. And we share some things in common. I'm not going to say what because I don't want to throw you out there and like put your family business out there. But if you want to know what they are, I will tell you later. We share a lot of things in common, though, in terms of how we grew up and the things that we've dealt with and the people that we've dealt with and that kind of stuff. And like, I want to learn from you because everyone's like, Devin, you're such a great content creator, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, here's me holding on by a thread that's like ripping apart at the seam.
Yeah, well, how I deal with grief is like, people tell you to just like get over it and, stop thinking about it. And, that's bullshit because, of course, you're going to think about it. So, what I do is, and I hope this makes sense, what I do is I just kind of embrace my grief, embrace, what I'm experiencing, acknowledge it, try not to let it overwhelm me, but just accept it, and then learn how to cope with it, and the one thing that helps me cope with it is writing, and finding out, that I'm not alone, by, people's responses. So, that's pretty much how I deal with it. You there's no getting over it or,
I disagree
unfortunately.
with you because I've gotten over a lot of shit. But I will say the getting over it part, like someone said to me once, get over it. I was like, okay, I will do that. And then I started going through it all. And I was like, 10 years later, I'm still going, holy fuck, I survived all that. I survived all that is the inflection. Like, this person here before you. Went through all that and I'm still alive. What am I?
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I should, everything that I experienced, and like I haven't put my whole story out there yet, but everything that I experienced, I should be dead by now. So
That
I'm,
fucking part for me.
yeah, and
I should
I,
be a corpse. And people think that you're exaggerating when you say that, but you're like, no, seriously, statistically speaking, a brown woman who has gone through the shit that we've gone through, you should not have survived. There is some kind of mystical, magical, weird, like powerful element out there keeping you here. And that's for me, right? That's how I see it because I feel like if I don't see it that way, then I'm doing myself a disservice. Do you know what I mean? Like, I got lucky. So I need to make this time matter. And that led into my next question was like, how do you deal with your grief? You write, that's what I do. Or I cry sometimes.
Yeah,
I've been
sometimes you
known to
just need to
like
let it out. But
I have got the soap opera cry down, Pat. Like I'm screaming and the wailing and the I've done it all. But I will say it feels really good sometimes though too.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I don't believe in holding your feelings in or, repressing them because I tried to do that shit and I just exploded on people who didn't really deserve it,
I was an
So.
angry person for a lot of years. And then once the truth started to come out, I noticed my shoulders went from being like here all the time to like relaxing. And I was like, oh, now then I got angry about it. Then like once I came down and I was, I guess called it, let's call it debriefed. Once I debriefed myself on everything that had happened, over 30 years, I got really mad, like really mad. And I started screaming and yelling. And my brother at one point turned around and he was like, "Will you shut up? Just like stop. Like, I get it. You're angry. I get it. What are you gonna do about it?" And then I started Loudmouth Brown Girl. And it was like all uphill from there.
Yeah, well, you answered all my questions. How why did you
I
start
answered all your
Loudmouth
questions.
Funk?
I have more for you.
Alrighty.
All right. Do you do goal setting?
Goal setting. I do like little tiny goals, because I'm still dealing with a bunch of mental health issues.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to, like, it's typically hard for me to see the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
So I just do little girl goals, like, you know, this week I'm going to write something, just one thing, or, you know, even something as simple as I'm going to get out of bed and wash my face. It's okay if I just lay down again. Or, you know, I
That's
see
a
a
really
pile
good
of,
one. I really like that one. And I'll tell you why. It's because, like, we, when we're dealing with mental health issues and we're at home predominantly a lot of the time, we feel so much guilt for not, like, getting over it and getting up and getting back to work and, like, getting a real job. And, like, people don't understand. Sometimes just getting out of bed is a job.
Right.
Like, that can be a full time. Yesterday was for me. I slept almost all day yesterday and I'm like, meh. Like, I don't care. And I kept hearing that voice and be like, well, you could have worked. I don't care.
Right.
I
You
don't.
know, but it is work for us, you know, and we should be proud of it.
Yeah.
And then whenever I have like a stack of dishes, I'm just like, okay, I'm going to wash one dish. And setting those little goals actually helps me. I mean, it helps me step up rather than, you know, looking at the full, like all the dishes that I have to wash and being like, oh my God, I have to wash them all.
Yeah.
And then freaking out and not washing anything.
I find when I do a couple of dishes, I end up doing like half the sink.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, well, there's all the forks, the spoons, and the knives. So I'll wash five of those and I'll leave the rest.
Right. Yeah, that's what I do.
At least I did some.
Mm-hmm.
I do small, some goal setting, but like my major goal is to keep all my Loudmouth Brown Girl stuff down to 2 notebooks instead of 500.
Yeah,
So
you said.
I have a stack of notebooks like this in my room that are half full, or like 3-4 pages full of LMBG stuff.
Yeah, I have like notebooks everywhere that are like half written, and then I'm just like, oh, I need to buy another notebook, so I buy
right?
another. Yeah, you said
Right.
something about having a stack of notebooks. I
Yeah.
remember that.
Yeah, it's like this thick. It's ridiculous. It's huge. Your turn to ask questions, because I'm going to take a break with my throat.
Okay. Well, all right. How you started Loudmouth Brown Girl, you already
How did I
answered
start
that.
it?
Or how did you start it? You know, or how and why you started it. Well, you said the why, but not the how.
Okay, so I was sitting on my balcony and this guy walks by and he looks at me and he's like, whore. And I'd already been arrested for having a panic attack. And that pissed me off.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started thinking about all the things that the men in my life had put me through over the years, and that pissed me off. And then this guy walked by and that pissed me off. And he didn't know me. I didn't know him. He was just in a mood.
Yeah.
But it pissed me off. So I got up. I walked into my house. I walked across to my living room, literally like diagonal from where I sit now. Sat down, went to WordPress.com, typed in Loudmouth Brown Girl, and that was that. It was what the cop had called me. He called me a Loudmouth Brown Bitch. And once I started it, I was like, okay, I have no idea what this is going to be. We'll figure it out when we get there. And I started writing, and that was it.
So it's just kind of like reclaiming that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, I couldn't brand myself any better if I tried.
Yeah.
That is such a great brand. Loudmouth Brown Bitch. I'm like, okay, I'll take that and I'll transform it into something that is consumable. I wanted it to be consumable by many, many people. I wanted people to hear it and think, wow, that sounds empowering. I wanted people to understand right away that I was not going to be silent about things that mattered to me. And I wanted people to understand that when I introduce myself as Devin J. Hall, the Loudmouth Brown Girl, I'm not the girl you used to know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the girl begging for a job. I now have a job. This is my job.
I want to get to that level, honestly, because I'm out there, still begging for jobs and still but I'm afraid to like kind of start my own thing. I have my Medium account, but that's about it. So you
I
kind
feel
of
like you need
inspired
to
me there.
start. I feel like you need to start SavannahWorley.com.
All right, maybe, yeah, before somebody else claims it. And like I have a lot of enemies out there. I wouldn't doubt that, somebody started that website just to say crap about me.
But
So.
you know what though? Like, I've been called a whore. I've been called a slut. I've been told I deserved it. I've been told people wish that I was dead. I've had death threats. I've had a bullying threats since I started Loudmouth. And like, first of all, nothing truly terrible has happened other than I got a stalker who I think may have passed away. My neighbors think I'm a little crazy. But like, I don't overly care because I can see my vision for my future. But it goes back to my goal setting because I didn't when I first started Loudmouth. I had no idea where I was going. It's only this year that I'm like, oh, okay, there's a fucking purpose behind this. There's something bigger happening with this brand. Because I have Loudmouth Brown Girl, the blog. I have my 604 North blog, which I'm transforming into something else because I want a different name for it. I have the t-shirt shop. I have two books out now. Like, that's a brand, right? But it took a long time to get here. And when you say that, like, well, sometimes I start with this, that's where I started. I started with, like, let me just get out of bed today.
Yeah, and that's how you make it, I think, setting little goals like that, you'll eventually climb up and be like, wow, I'm here now.
Well, I mean, my house is clean now. Like, my mom really helped me out and got the house clean. And that was a big transformative moment because I would be working so hard on Loudmouth that the house was getting bad and I wasn't noticing and I wasn't caring. And then when I finally looked up, I was like, holy shit, I just wrote a book about being accountable. Like, let's get this done. So we got the house clean. And that was a huge start into like me being like, okay, now I can start setting some bigger goals. Because my goal when I first started Loudmouth Brown Girl was just to get my story out there. Now it's to take over the world, but like, that was always kind of like the underlying at the beginning.
All right, my next question is, what brings you joy in life? It can be little things,
You.
big things.
You. Oh my God,
Oh.
you and Renita and Allison and Nada and Rain and Fanny and Curtis Jones and like my internet friends, my dorky nerdy internet friends that I plan to all fly to Jamaica when I make it rich, like all of you.
All right, cool. I would love to go to Jamaica. Yeah, I am
All of you
there.
bring me joy. You're all
Well,
the weirdest group of people. Like, in a million years, none of you would talk to each other. And like, we all follow each other.
yes.
All of us.
Yeah, and
Arturo, Hal. Hal is constantly posting food and like bourbon tweets that make me want to throw a hammer at my computer. I hate that
yes.
guy. I love his writing. I think he's a genius. I hate him so fucking much. From bourbon encrusted steak to like whiskey flambéed ribs, the guy pisses me off to no fucking end, and I just hate his guts. He brings me joy because he is so kind, and he's so generous on Sundays to so many people to let them speak and to inspire them to speak on so many topics. Allison, who started Woke, who was just like, I'm gonna do this, and then kept it going after the initial drama and the growing pains, and like fought for that program to keep going, is so cool. My friend Fanny, who never fails to make me smile, like never. You, who remind me to take care of myself.
Yeah, you should.
You told me the other day, you told me that I am in part responsible for keeping you here.
Yes, and that is
And
true.
that you have no idea, like, I'm constantly telling other people, we need you here. We love you. We want you here, on and on and on, because it's true, right? But to know that, like, you heard me,
Yeah, and I
you're still
needed to
here.
hear that. Oh.
I 5 years ago when I started Loudmouth, I was completely alone. I cut myself off from everybody. And you have all given me a tribe and a circle and a like an amazing group of friends from all over the world. And the Brown Girl bus is coming, baby. Like, I'm gonna come pick you up and in the bus, and it's gonna be purple and green and loud and flamboyant and beautiful. And we're gonna
Awesome.
go to New Orleans and we're gonna kidnap Allison and we're gonna grab Renita and we're gonna go to Toronto and grab Nada. And like, it's just gonna be the most amazing trip.
It whenever you said, because I was in a very dark place, a few months ago, and nobody really knew it until I said it. And then, you immediately messaged me and being like, you're wanted here. I love you. And those are things that I really needed to hear. I love you. I didn't mean to make you cry. I'm sorry.
You're not supposed to make the host cry on their own show. Oh my God. Oh my God. What would you like to be doing right now?
You mean right the second or
Like,
just
just in general, like with your life, like what, when you look at your life and you're like, okay, yeah, that's gonna happen. What do you see?
well, I actually had a discussion about this with my therapist and the need for outside validation. Like, I feel like, I should be doing this, I should be doing that at this level of my life. I have a college degree and I'm working for a cleaning service. What the hell am I doing? Like, I'm trying to stop doing that, saying the word should, I should be,
I really struggled with that in the first 2 years of Loudmouth. I really struggled with that because it was like everyone's like, oh yay, you're gonna start a blog. And I was like, fuck you. I'm starting a brand, darling. And every like nobody believed in me. And then to come out and be talking about like gang stuff too, people were like, uh-huh, it's a blog. So I really struggled with that word should a lot because
Oh,
I was
yeah.
like, how do I validate that this makes sense to my brain and will one day make sense to everybody else? And I literally went through wait, I was like, wait a minute, I don't actually like these people, so
Yeah.
I don't care what they think.
Yeah, but where I want to be in life is I want to love and be loved. I want my own standards of su success and, follow those standards. I just like to be happy.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, and I feel like I'm getting there, being happy with myself, being happy with the world, instead of just being like, fuck everything, letting my anger overwhelm me instead of using my anger as a tool and saying, okay, how can I make things better for myself? So yeah, I see a lot of love in my future, basically.
I
And
get that.
yeah. And then what about you?
What do I want to be doing?
Right.
I want to be building woke offices.
Yeah.
I want to go to New Orleans. I want to give Allison $500,000 and say, let's build these offices. Let's fly
That's
everybody in
cool.
and let's build this shit and let's make it a thing. That's what I want to be doing. I want to be building Loudmouth Brown Girl into a brand. I want to hire local designers to design all the clothes. I want to ho hire writers from around the world to talk about women's issues and fashion and mental health and physical health and cannabis health and all the things. I want an online, like full digital magazine. I want everybody to be like, CNN, what? No, Loudmouth Brown Girl. That's where we got
Yeah.
to.
Yeah, actually tell people what actually matters instead of selling things. Yeah, that'd
Oh
be
no, I
nice.
plan to be selling things. I am.
Well, I mean,
Let me
you know, you
clarify
kind of
this shit. Y'all think that I'm not a capitalist because I'm a black liberal. Fuck that noise. I ain't Kanye West, but pay me. I got a t-shirt line, I got two books. I got a Ko-fi. That's three different. I had a GoFundMe. That's four different ways you can pay me. Pay me for the content that I
Yes.
create. I
Yeah,
don't
and
think
I am the same
capitalist.
way.
I am Jeff Bezos. I don't want to be Jeff Bezos. I always want to pay everybody fairly, but I want to go home with my beautiful mirror Lamborghini that looks like a fucking mirror when I walk up to it.
Yeah, but I mean, sensationalizing things, like morphing things into what people want you to say instead of what needs to be said.
I get so much hate because I write about celebrities and I don't trash them.
See, I trash
Other than
them.
Kanye, I will trash Kanye till the end of time because I told y'all he was trash 5 years ago and nobody listened to me and everybody like came after me. And I told y'all then what I'm telling you now, the man is trash. But I don't talk about celebrities on Loudmouth Brown Girl because like I don't care. I allow myself 1 hour of TMZ a day. And if you do something super stupid, I will talk about it. If you're Will Smith and you slap Chris Rock, I'm going to talk about it. If you're Kanye West and you're just saying something stupid, I don't care. Right? But
Yeah,
like,
makes sense.
I don't know. That's the one thing you'll never see us talk about in woke, which is cool, is like celebrity sensationalism.
Yeah, well, that's what sells. So, and then another question I had, like, what is your favorite physical feature about yourself?
My ass.
Mine too.
My ass, because I was always told it should be small and petite, and it's not.
Right.
And my
Yeah.
body has been like, yeah, I know we should be dancing and losing weight. And I'm like, my brain's like, why? For who? For what? Do you want to lose weight? Not really. Then why do you worry about it?
Yeah, like I'm the same way. Like I remember when, people are like, asses should be small, you should be, but now that's changing, and it's
Oh,
just
because
like
what's his name wrote that song called I Like Big Butts?
oh my God, what is his name?
Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Okay, yes.
Right? Like,
Yeah.
even 90s, I feel like in the 90s, black women specifically were like, we had the big butts. And it was appreciated. And
Right.
then in the 2000s, Kate Moss came around with her tiny ass little frame, and everybody was like, she's so pretty. She is. She's one of the most beautiful women in the world. But then you see Naomi Campbell, who is arguably, she's very slight, like very slender, right? But she still has a big ass. She looks beautiful. Queen Latifah, Missy Elliott, the girls of TLC, Salt and Peppa, all of them have big asses. You know why? Because they all had kids. They traveled with, you know why they were skinny? Because they danced their asses off. You know why Lizzo's losing weight? Because she's doing 200 shows a year. She was never going to stay fat after she got famous. That was never going to happen. She's too talented. She's dancing her ass off, literally. And now people are like, what about body positivity? Would you like her to dance or do you want her to sit there and be fat? Because she can't do both.
Yeah, like what
You
matters
cannot be
is,
fat when you were dancing that much.
yeah, what matters is being comfortable with your own weight,
Yeah.
and she
Which she
is.
is.
Yeah.
I can't really stand her. I Lizzo irritates the crap out of me, but I love her work ethic and I love like everything about who she is as a human being.
Absolutely. I
I just don't
agree.
like her as a person.
Well,
I just don't, but
yeah,
whatever.
actually, I am posting something about Lizzo
Are you?
that hopefully will be released tomorrow. Like, I submitted it to one publication or medium. They're not taking it, so I'm going to submit it to another. So yeah, look out for that.
Okay.
Everybody, look out for that.
Yeah, if
Please
you don't
read my
follow
stuff.
Savannah on Medium, please do. What is your at on Medium? I can't remember.
It's SK Worley, so SKWORLEY.
Okay.
And another question for you. You are an Aries, right?
I am.
Yeah, I'm kind of a zodiac nerd, a astrology nerd. Yeah, and I mean, I could tell right away that you're an Aries. Like,
It's not something I hide easily.
yeah. Well,
Did
what?
you? Okay, hold on. I'm gonna interrupt you. Did you see that fucking? Ooh, I'm so mad. Mariah Carey, did you see that? She posted herself as a witch for Halloween, and I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. She's coming out with a Halloween track. And then she flips it as you get excited, and it's the stupid Christmas song.
Oh my God. I cannot stand, like, I love Mariah Carey. I especially loved her whenever I was little. I
It was like a Mariah Carey, what do you call it when they ring roll, whatever it's called, rip roll or whatever it is, rick roll.
Oh yeah.
It was
Yeah,
Mariah Carey rick roll. It was
she was
really
trolling
well
people.
done, but it was just evil. And it came on the TV, which is why I mentioned it.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
But all right, so you're an Aries.
I'm an air.
What qualities of Aries do you feel like you picked up, or besides being loud, being what other qualities of Aries do you think?
That's a good question. Screw you.
Astrology
Good
nerd, I
question.
can't help me. Well, I think you.
I'm passionate. I'm fascinated by people. I'm
Yes.
constantly curious. I want to know, like, how does your journey intersect with mine? I want to know, what did you go through that I can relate to so that I can see where it is that you and I connect? I want to know, is there anything on my journey that relates to you? Like, I'm constantly curious about everything about a person's life. And like, invite me to your house, but then leave your house so I can look through all your stuff. Like, I'm that person. I want to know everything about you. I'm artistic, I'm creative, I'm headstrong.
Oh, yes. And that's a good thing.
I'm very stubborn, but I think that that is a good thing though too. I think that like if I weren't these things, Loudmouth Brown Girl wouldn't exist, and I don't know if I would still be here today.
Yeah, and I think another thing is that you are a good leader.
Thank you.
Yeah, and that's a canary trait. So,
You.
I would love to see your birth chart though. Like, you need to know your date of birth. And you can see the whole birth chart. I believe that you'd have a lot of air sign in your birth chart.
Too much
I
air
would.
sign in my freaking chart, let me tell you. All right,
Yeah, see,
my turn. I'm gonna bring up the notes now and get you back to that.
okay.
That was a hard question.
I'm a Libra, by the
Oh, here's a
way.
good one. What does your family think of your work?
Oh, they don't read it. I mean, it is so funny because all of them were like, you should write again. You should write again. You're a good writer. And I started writing and nobody reads it. Feel like
Me
how to think
either.
about them.
I know. I told my family I wrote a book. They were like, "That's nice. Take out the garbage." I was like, "I just finished writing a book." And she was like, "That's nice. Take out the garbage." And I'm like,
Wow.
"Oh, wow, cool." I just like
Yeah.
it's a huge accomplishment for me. Like, could you at least? Yeah, no, my family won't read it either. I think
Yeah,
it's because they're afraid that they might show up in it.
and they show up mine, and that's mostly because I know they don't read it, so I just talk shit about them. So
See, I'm stuck because my mom's really like tight with a lot of politicians, and a lot of them follow me. So I'm like, I want to go rail to Savannah about what I'm going through with my mom. And I can't because it might get back to one of the politicians that she works with who might be.
Yeah.
So let's have a conversation about what your daughter says on social media.
Yeah, and I have the same problem. Like I try to be careful about what I say about my mom because she did, like she used to read my diaries and stuff, which is a complete invasion of privacy. Yeah, I know. I know it's a jerk thing to do. And she got all mad at me because of what I wrote about her. And I'm just like, you're not supposed to read that.
No, that's the one thing I'll give my mom credit for. She never read my journals.
Yeah, that, I mean, it was, yeah, I am forever mad about her for doing that. I haven't let it go ever. So a part of me is glad that she doesn't read my writing now.
I think, like, for me, it irritates me because, like, what you write when you're 15 and 16, it's so vulnerable and it's so true to who you are in the moment. But it's also such bullshit. Like,
Yeah.
the world you see at 16 is not the world as it is. It's the world you see at 16. And so, like, I feel like anything you write at 16, it doesn't really count. It's like your first kind of practice run at how you see the world. It's only when you get older and you can look back and you're like, okay, I can see that a little differently. So when someone's reading that stuff that is so personal and so vulnerable and so young, it like rips at you because it's like that's not who I am yet. That's like that's just it's the first layer of who I am. And you're taking that privacy away from me, and I'm still trying to discover. I'm not ready to show you yet
Right,
what that
yeah.
writing is about.
Yeah, I still lock up my journal to this day because I live alone now, but she did that. So it's just
Yeah.
so part of me is glad that she doesn't read my writing. My father, I'm still like I'm close to him, but he was always away, but he was always in my life. He read a couple of my articles and was impressed, and that, but he doesn't read it either.
My mom will read some of my stuff. She'll check out the site every now and then. But and I know she subscribes. I know she gets the email notifications because I signed her up for them. So it's like, here you go. If you want to read it, you can. She's more irritated that it's not like English, proper English. And I'm like, but I don't speak proper English.
Right.
Like, I'm not just English. I'm also Jamaican and I'm a bunch of other stuff. So I speak a bunch of different languages. So she doesn't like that too much, so that I don't edit it, but I don't care.
Actually, I have another question. What do you do besides writing? Like, what are your hobbies? It's just like a fun question.
My therapist asked me that yesterday, actually. That's funny. I like to dance. I love to listen to music. I love to talk to my mom on occasion. Like, I actually enjoy speaking with my mom. I like digital painting. I like painting, physical painting.
Yeah, your artwork is really cool.
Thank
Like
you.
what you post on Twitter.
Thank
Yeah,
you.
that looks awesome.
That's a new thing for me. I only started drawing a year and a half ago.
Well, you're good at it.
It's weird. It's like I feel like I didn't draw as a kid. I was storing it all up for adulthood, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, as for me, like I'm a total nerd. Like I ranted about a video
You
game
do
before.
Final Fantasy, right?
Yes,
Oh
I
my God.
played.
Okay, how do you play that game? Do you play it on computer?
There are some Final Fantasy games, especially the older ones on Steam, which is through the computer.
Okay.
And some of them, like, they're on PlayStation mostly.
Pay me so I can get a station. I want a PlayStation so
Yeah.
bad. You don't understand. God of War is still sitting in my old PlayStation that's sitting in the corner by my TV, and it's been sitting there for 5 years.
Well, you should play it.
I can't. It's a skip disk.
Oh.
I have to get it clean and get it fixed.
Oh. Well, you should totally get into, like, I would start with Final Fantasy VII because it's not as scary as, like, I'm playing Final Fantasy VI and it's kind of a creepy game, even though it's my
Okay.
favorite.
I really like the Lord of the Ring games when you have to like travel around and pick people up and find stuff. I got stuck and never finished that game, and I need a PlayStation. Like, I need one. I need a PlayStation. I need to like get my brain occupied off the internet for a little while.
Yeah, I have a PlayStation 4. I really want a PlayStation 5, but I can't afford one. There is no
I
way in
am not
hell.
justifying $2 million for a place.
I
Like, I see all these kids having so much fun, and I'm like, man, maybe for Christmas.
Yeah.
Maybe for
It
Christmas I'll get one, and I'll start playing, because they're like, what, $1,000?
They're like 500, actually, I believe,
That's
or
my rent.
599. Yeah. So it's a lot.
That's a month's rent for me.
Yes, mine too. Like, my rent is 550 a month, and it's just like, no. All
Yeah.
right.
Do you have more
But
questions?
who are, besides people in WoW, who are your role models?
Besides people in Woke. Well, the people of Woke. Which is just true. Like, you guys are killing it. Like, there are so many amazing, there's 130 writers in that group.
Goodness.
It's hard not to be inspired by that many people. Kim Harrison, who wrote the Hollow series. If you have not read it, go read it. Rachel is in the story, is amazing. Jinx is a fairy that farts, tinkles, and swears and shoots things and grows up and is really hot and goes back to being a fairy and is still really hot. There's vampires, there's demons, there's all kinds of things, and it just somehow Kim Harrison made it work. And it all starts with a tomato.
A
The story starts
tomato.
with a fucking tomato. And somehow she has written dozens of books, and it's worked all this time, and they're amazing stories. I will not read them anymore because she broke my heart. And when I contacted her on Twitter to say, "You broke my heart by doing this," she laughed at me.
Well,
And she still laughs at me.
that's
Every time
rude.
she's like, every once in a while, she's like, "What's a character that broke your heart?" And I'm like, "Fuck you." You did. And she laughs, and I love it. Tom Grummett, who I don't know if you know who he is, but he worked on the when they did the original series in the comic books where Superman dies. Tom Grummett worked on that series, and he helped write and draw some of it. And I got to meet him at Comic-Con a few years ago, and I asked him how it felt to know that so many fans were angry at him. And he looked at me and he smiled, and he's missing his four front teeth, so he's just got these canines. So he smiles and he looked like this vampire, and he goes, "It feels amazing." And I always thought, I want to write something that makes people feel so something, angry, passionate, happy, sad, whatever it is. I want to write something that makes people cry when they read it, so I can have that moment of laughter. And I haven't had it yet, but that's the kind of writing that I aspire to, because that's the writing that makes fans It makes them feel something. It makes them hear you. It makes them see the world in a different way. And that's the kind of right. Nora Roberts, Chris Evans, because I'll tell you why. No actor in Hollywood makes me angrier than Christopher Robert Evans. But he was in a movie called Not Another Teen Movie, and it was so bad. And I was such a fan. You already know the story. I tried to watch the movie 17 times, and I couldn't get past the part where he's naked because he just looks so stupid. And then he comes out as Captain America, and I'm like, where do I know him from? Like, it took me so long to remember where I knew him from until I caught that movie on TV. And then he came out as this like super political guy. And he built this website called The Starting Point, where he's going to Washington and he's talking to lawmakers and he's asking them questions that everyday regular degular citizens want to know the answers to. And he's putting them on camera and making them answer about specific law, about what certain things in the government mean, about what certain politicians are saying. And he's keeping them accountable. And I really respect that. He still
Oh,
makes
that's
me
so cool.
angry. I don't like him as a human being. But I think that, like, when we're talking about people that inspire us, I'm looking for people who have big platforms who are doing great things. Like, you can hate Kim Kardashian all the fuck you want for all the bad shit she's ever done, but she's now saving lives. Like, she's literally fighting for prison reform. She's become a lawyer. And she's fighting for the most innocent people on the planet when she could be using her wealth to fight for the richest people on the planet. Like, screw what you think about Kim Kardashian. That's pretty amazing. So those kinds of people, those are the ones that inspire me.
All right. Did you have any more questions? What did
Your
you?
turn.
Oh, it's my turn.
Yeah, who, like, what is it about? Because when I read your writing, I'm like, there's the Savannah that I know on Twitter that's really shy. And then there's this Savannah who ain't shy at all. So, like, who really inspires you in your work that you're doing?
I would say, all right, let me think about this. Like I've heard some things about her, but Frida Kahlo, just because she told her story through painting,
Yeah.
and then that's why I kind of resonated with her work. And then Octavia Butler, who writes a lot of fiction, or she wrote a lot of fiction. Yes. I just really loved her work. And, it's just, I kind of admire people who just kind of do their own thing, beat up their own drum. A lot of people won't do that. You do.
I definitely do that.
It just gives me encouragement that, I can do that too.
You
So,
absolutely can. And I think that you do. I think that you, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like when we're on our mental health journeys, there's a certain point where some of us, we end up on disability or we end up, doing whatever we have to do to survive. And those are the moments that are that we're taking our time to heal. And I feel like
Like,
that's
I'm actually
occurring
in the
now.
middle of applying for disability, and it is like, I don't know how it is in Canada, but in the US, it is hard. They'll keep on
Not
denying you.
easy.
So I'm in the middle of that. But it takes like, it's hard to heal while, fitting into the world's expectations. Like, you have to work and you have to do this and that to in order to survive, in order to be successful. That's why I kind of stress on defining success for yourself instead of what the world says is successful. So,
Right. And like, it's weird because I was at the Pride event in August and I was at one of the tables and there was this box, right? It was just like an inch thick and about 7 or 8 inches long. And then it had all these other little boxes inside. And each one had a sticker. And you could pick one depending on like what your orientation is. And I remember standing there and I'm like, what box do you fit into? And I was like, I don't want any of this shit. Like, I'm not straight. I'm not cis, but I'm not bisexual. I'm a bunch of different things. I don't fit into any one category. I don't want to use one label to identify myself. Because that, like, I'm trying to get out of this society's idea of who I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, I can understand that. I feel like, those labels can help.
Absolutely.
I mean, they can help, kind of figure out what you are in, how to explain it to others, but that's about it. That doesn't
I
mean.
feel like those labels are really helpful for people who need an identity and who need something to hold on to give them some semblance of hope, right? And I think that they do that for certain people. But for me, like, I'm not any one thing. Like, I'm not certainly not transgender, but I'm not necessarily like, I don't fit the mold of androgynous, but if I had a term that fit me, I would prefer that one.
It took me a long time to embrace the fact that I am bisexual. Or, that I'm queer. Like, it took me forever.
I
Like,
love it.
it's
Say
not.
it loud, proud. I'm queer freaky.
It took me forever because, like, it's not because of anything religious. Like,
Yeah.
I the one thing that my mom and dad agreed on is that religion shouldn't be forced on me, even though I lived in a highly religious area. A conservative area. So I didn't have a fear of hell or anything, but it's just like I was taught that, it's not normal. You will never fit in if you're not, and I've
True.
always been concerned about fitting into somewhere, even though I can't, I mean, I am
Do you know what's
Irish.
funny? There's a line in some movie. There's Sex and the City, where Big and Carrie are like sitting in the closet at the end of the film. They're like, we were perfectly happy until we decided to be perfectly happy. I was perfectly happy as a kid being a loner in a library until I was told that it was weird for me to be happy being a kid who was alone in the library.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
As
Yeah, I
soon as
hear
somebody
you
said it was
on
weird that I like spending too much time alone, I was like, okay, well, then I guess I need to. And that was when everything started to spiral for me. Once I got out of that idea that I needed to be surrounded by other people to be happy, I'm much happier. Because, like, look at this. It was like, yo, Savannah, you want to hang out for an hour?
Yeah.
And here we are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I'm having a blast. I
Me
love this.
too.
Yeah,
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Stay Lifted Sis by the Loudmouth Brown Girl with my guest, Savannah Worley. Savannah, where can people find you on social media?
I mentioned this, but you can find me on Medium at SKWORLEY, SK Worley. And then you can find me on Twitter. I'm under the word word. I'm under the username Savvy wrote that. Just kind of encouraging myself to write more. That's why I chose that handle.
I love that name. I think that should be your .com.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I'm thinking about it now. so you can just find me on Twitter and Medium. That's pretty much all I have that I'll share with people. I won't share my private Twitter or my Tumblr.
Obviously. You can find me at Loudmouth Brown Girl on all the things except Facebook and Instagram, where I am original LMBG, and at loudmouthbrowngirl.com. So check us out, and we love you. Thank you, Savannah, for joining me today so much. I had such a great time with you.
Yeah, same here.